the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
Always by my side.
for me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Rides the subway with the junkies and the freaks, and Jesus rides the subway with the hustlers and the creeps. He rubs shoulders with the thieves. Looks a lot like everyone sees. Oh, Jesus rides the subway while the pretty people sleep. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. But you can lay your burden down. Jesus strolls the sidewalks on the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks. Poverty attacks. Makes his home among the shacks, where the fatherless have fallen through the cracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks while the righteous turn their backs. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. Oh baby, you've been kicked around. But you can lay your burden down. Yeah. Jesus went to church on Sunday. He sat in the back and sang the hymns. But Jesus went to church on Sunday. But they didn't recognize him. He said, you can lay your burden down. Your burden down. Oh baby, you've been kicked around. But you can lay your burden. Lay your burden.
Welcome, listeners. You are listening to The Hope Show today. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. As always, it's such a pleasure and an honor to be a part of your Saturday. I hope all of you have had a blessed week, and I'm so happy that we can all join back here again today, this Saturday. So today, we are going to be talking about, are you leadership material? All of us are capable of being a leader, but for whatever reason, some will shy away from it, some will avoid it, some just prefer to be a follower. This is where their comfort zone is. Following is more compatible to their personality. Sometimes people let fear and doubt rule over their life and they don't experience all that God has planned for them. While other people are very comfortable in the leadership role and are very successful in doing so. In elementary school, I was very painfully shy due to the things that had happened to me at an earlier age in my life. In high school, I started to blossom out of my shell. I started taking on various leadership roles, such as being a part of the Honor Roll Society, being an editor for my school newspaper, working on the yearbook staff, etc., etc. I excelled in art classes and English classes. And then when I was faced with this big world outside of the protection of my mom and dad's home, I was a little apprehensive. But it did not take long for me to pick up my confidence again and carry on. In later years, after my daughter was born, I had many leadership opportunities. I was a Girl Scout leader and an assistant leader for my daughter's Girl Scout troop for many, many, many years. I was a teller supervisor with six women under my supervision for approximately 3 years. I was in the banking business for probably a total of nearly 11 years. I could go on, but I don't want to bore you with the details of my life. All these things are well and good. But there is another leadership role that we are called to step up to and accept responsibility for. This is perhaps the most important leadership role that you will ever experience in your entire life. It is the role of leading others to the Lord. How many of you are taking up your cross, armed with the truth and the Word of God, and going out there in this world and spreading it to everyone you meet? You don't always have to preach to people. You can just lead by example, too. Live your life well, folks. Live your life for Christ. People are always watching you and listening. Whether you know it or not, people do observe each other. They observe their behaviors, their actions, deeds, even the way you speak. What kind of example do you want to be? What kind of example do you think you currently are? The song I played in the intro to my show today always touches my heart in such a profound way every time I listen to it. This is the type of person I would like to be. I want to be more and more like Jesus and less like myself. Jesus Rides the Subway is a very humbling song that hits a very soft spot in my heart, and I strive to be more and more like Jesus each and every day. I don't know if you've ever really took the time to listen to the words of that song, so I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. It goes like this. Jesus rides the subway with the junkies and the freaks, the hustlers and the creeps. He rubs shoulders with the thieves, and he looks a lot like everyone you see. He rides the subway while the pretty people sleep. He offers people in low places comfort from their burdens, telling them to give their burdens to him. He is close to the downtrodden, the brokenhearted, kicked around, homeless, widows, orphans, etc. Jesus strolls the sidewalks on the wrong side of the tracks, where poverty attacks. He makes his home among the shacks, where the orphans have fallen through the cracks, while all the righteous have turned their backs. Jesus went to church on Sunday and sang the hymns, but the church didn't recognize him. No matter how great your burdens are, you can lay them down. God has got whatever it is that's going on in your life. God has this. God's got it. This song also reminds me of a story from Pastor Jeremiah Stepak, whom I have mentioned on my previous shows on numerous occasions. Some of you are probably familiar with the article that I'm talking about, but it's always something worth repeating. A homeless pastor, Jeremiah Stepak, teaches his new congregation a lesson in being a Christian. Pastor Jeremiah Stepak transformed himself into a homeless person and went to the 10,000-member church that he was about to be introduced as the head pastor to that morning. He walked around his soon-to-be church for 30 minutes while it was filling with people for service. Only 3 people out of the some 7 to 10,000 people actually said hello to him. Keep in mind, he is transformed into a homeless man. He asked people for change to buy food. No one in the church gave him change. He went into the sanctuary to sit down in the front of the church. And believe it or not, he was asked by the ushers if he would please sit in the back. He greeted people to be greeted back with stares and dirty looks, with people looking down on him and judging him. This is a church, folks. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the church announcements and such. And when all of that was done, the elders went up and were excited to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. "We would like to introduce to you Pastor Jeremiah Stepak." The congregation looked around, clapping with joy and anticipation. The homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisle. The clapping stopped, with all eyes focused on him. He walked up to the altar and he took the microphone from the elders, who were in on this, and paused for a moment. Then he recited, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothing and clothe you? When, Lord, did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" And after he recited this, he looked toward the congregation and told them all of what he experienced that morning. Many began to cry and weep, and many heads were bowed in shame. He then said, "Today, I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. When will you decide to become a disciple?" He then dismissed church service that morning until next week. Being a Christian is more than something you just simply claim. It's something you live by and you share with others. Both the song "Jesus Rides the Subway" and the article written by Jeremiah Stepak are very humbling tales of what Jesus is about. How do you measure up to that kind of leadership? John C. Maxwell is quoted as saying, "A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way." As most of you well know, trying to do something without the necessary skills or tools is nearly impossible to do. If your tool is dull, then you should sharpen it so that you can do a better job. Similarly, if you lack skills, you should sharpen your skills through training, studying, and practicing. In each situation, sharpening up something means to acknowledge that there is a problem, To fix the problem, you must hone or acquire the skills needed to do a task better and then go out and do it. We need to find these areas where we are dull or lacking in skills and then sharpen up those areas so that we can go out there and be more effective in God's work. If we wait for the perfect conditions, folks, to make our move, then there will be much time, valuable time, wasted, waiting, and just waiting. And that means a lot of unnecessary inactivity. And we cannot afford that luxury. God's people need us now, not when perfect conditions arise. If we wait for the perfect time to take on that leadership role of being God's servant, for spreading His word and truth, we will never begin. We will never begin. If we wait for the perfect time or place for personal Bible study, it won't happen either. If we wait for the perfect church, we will never join. If we wait for the perfect ministry, we will never serve. Don't wait for conditions that may never come. Think about what all you could be doing right now if you just wade right in there and you're not afraid to get your feet wet. In Ecclesiastes 11:4, the Bible tells us, "Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest." So what are you waiting for, fellow brothers and sisters? What are you waiting for? Take a leap of faith. God qualifies the unqualified. Look at me, for instance. I have never had any formal training in biblical material. I would not consider myself to be qualified to do the Hope Show each Saturday. And yet for over a year, God has qualified me to share His message, and people tune in to listen to my messages each Saturday. If God can use me to be a leader for His truth and His word, He can use you as well, folks. Deep inside each and every one of us, there is a river of life. This river is a wonderful, wonderful gift given to us by God. It flows with good health, a positive outlook on life, and a generous and forgiving attitude. However, many people let that river become clogged up. They are always discouraged, and no matter what they do, they can't seem to snap out of it. And I'm sure each and every one of you know at least one person in your life who is like that. Years of neglect in their life have turned a once powerful, flowing river into a small stream. Do you know any people like that? Perhaps this sounds like your own life. Until you are able to get your own river cleared up and unclogged, everything will be difficult for you. God did not make us to live life with a small stream. God made us to be a powerhouse for a river flowing with life. Until you clear up your mess, you will never be able to taste the water that satisfies like no other will. If something is keeping you from being the great leader that God designed you to be, then make that choice today to stop spending your life fighting and struggling and trudging through all the mud and the murk in your life. Ask God to clear out the debris. He will show you what's blocking that flow and how to get rid of it. In John 7:38, the Bible says, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the Scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart." I don't know about you folks, but that sounds pretty good to me. I want to share with you four steps that I think will help you to keep your river flowing freely and will help you to become a servant, a better servant, or leader for God. First, you have to know what God's purpose is for you. And you have to understand that. And then, purposely set aside time. Make an appointment with God each and every day. A set time of the day. Whatever time works best for you. Make it a part of your routine for the day. Just start somewhere, and you'll see the positive fruit that time brings to your life. Myself, I do that first thing in the morning, because when I get out of bed, I have a tendency to just start grumbling about things. You know, there's a spill on the floor, you know, coffee's been spilled, or you know, just stupid stuff. Just stupid stuff. And so, instead of allowing myself to get in that mindset for the entire day, as soon as I get my coffee, I go find my quiet place every morning. And my morning ritual is to get my coffee, go find my quiet place, pray, start my Bible studies, and then I'm good for the day. Good for the day. And it makes so much difference in how my day plays out. If I am in a hurry and I've got an appointment or someplace to be and I skip that ritual, that routine for that morning, my day is out of whack because something is amiss and it's God. Make preparation for your Bible studies. Again, choose a place and a time. Somewhere that you will enjoy being alone for a while. I have two places that I kind of go between. I have this big old fluffy chair that's right beside a window that looks out to the back of my house, and it's all wooded back there, and sometimes I can get lucky and I can watch some deer playing out there as I'm studying, and I feel so at peace and so one with God. In the wilderness, you know, it's just like 30 feet from a wooded area. And then sometimes, you know, I'll just decide that I'm just going to crawl back in bed under my nice warm covers and study there. But everybody needs a place and a time that you will enjoy being alone, whether that's morning, evening, whatever the case may be. And then, have all your materials ready and available. You will definitely want your Bible, and perhaps a good Bible dictionary or concordance, maybe even some paper and pen to take notes. And then you must prepare your heart. This is a big one. Prepare your heart. Pray. Get yourself in the right mindset. If your heart isn't in the right place, you might as well not waste your time, because you won't be paying attention, and you probably won't get much out of that study. Ask God in prayer, before you study, to soften your heart and your mind to His message. Talk to God about things you may need to confess, and enter your study time peacefully, and without anything that might block you from receiving God's Word for you in each of your study times. Take the time each day to study the Word of God, because there is such power in it. To change your life and the lives of others and become the person that God wants you to be. I want to say a little prayer right now for all of you listening in the audience. So let's bow our heads for a moment for this prayer. Lord, I purpose my heart to set aside time each and every day to really understand and study your word. Lord, soften my heart to today's message so that I may receive from it and what you want me to hear. Teach me to understand, consent, and submit to your truth in my everyday life. Amen. Amen, folks. I hope you said that prayer with me. Thank you for sharing in that prayer time. At this time, I think I'll go ahead and go on a quick break, and then after the break, I'll continue talking about what kind of leadership material you are.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. holy, 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 I want to see you.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed those songs during the break. Thank you for joining me today for the Hope Show. If you are just tuning in, today's topic is, are you leadership material? Some of you may be confident in the fact that you are most certainly leadership material. Others may not be too sure about their abilities. Maybe they have doubts about how skilled they are at being a leader. While others may tell you that they are most definitely not leadership material, never have been, and never will be. But folks, that's ridiculous. We all have within us somewhere an ability to be a great leader. Great leaders for God. God designed us to be helpers, servants, great caretakers of all that is around us. God did not create doubt, fear, skepticism. These things are not of God. They are from the enemy, meant to hold us back from our greatest potential. I have mentioned this also on previous shows, but I want to share it again. This is how you know if something is of God or of Satan. God's voice stills you, leads you, reassures you, enlightens you, encourages you, comforts you, calms you, and convicts you. On the other hand, Satan's voice rushes you, pushes you, frightens you, confuses you, worries you, discourages you, obsesses you, and condemns you. Let me repeat this one more time, folks. God's voice will still you, lead you, reassure you, enlighten you, encourage you, comfort you, calm you, and convict you. While Satan's voice will rush you, push you, frighten you, confuse you, worry you, discourage you, obsess you, and condemn you. Now, for future reference, when you are feeling a certain way, you can remember these things and you can tell yourself either that is God's voice or that is Satan's voice. For a faster way of knowing which you're hearing from, think of it in these terms. If you are hearing anything negative or chaotic, that's from the devil, because he likes to keep the pot stirred at all times. If it's God's voice, it will be positive, peaceful, calming, and joyous. Just keep that in mind. If you can't remember all that other stuff, just keep that in mind. If you are feeling negative or chaotic, that's not God, because God is peace, positive, calm, and joy. So earlier in the show, I quoted a man by the name of John C. Maxwell. He said, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. It's not only the information, but the transformation that follows by renewing your mind. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 that as the Lord's servant, you must not quarrel. You must be kind toward all, a good and patient teacher, who is gentle as you correct your opponents, for it may be that God's will for them to have opportunity to repent and to come to know the truth, and then they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who had caught them and may have them obey the devil's will. It is our job to teach the lost, do search and rescue, folks. It's our job to go find the lost and teach them, search and rescue. God will do the rest. Also in 2 Peter 1:5 through 8, the Bible tells us that for this very reason, do your best to add goodness to your faith. To your goodness, add knowledge. To your knowledge, add self-control. To your self-control, add endurance. To your endurance, add godliness. And to godliness, add Christian affection. And to that, above all, add love. It goes on to say that we need qualities and in abundance. If we do not have these, then it implies that we have forgotten that we too have been purified from our own past sins. For you see, in leadership, There is no room for pride, arrogance, or deceit. For all started out in the beginning with sin in our lives. So don't think too highly of yourself, because the humbled will inherit the kingdom. Let us not forget that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking all error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living, so that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. Did you catch that last part, folks? Those who serve God will be made fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. So even if you don't think you are good leadership material, perhaps you think you aren't cut out for the job, you wouldn't even know where to begin, you're too shy, whatever the reason for your thinking, God promises to those that serve Him that He will qualify and equip you for every kind of good deed. So with that having been said, I suppose your theory just flew out the window. God will qualify and equip you. All you have to do is ask. Now you have no excuse whatsoever for not getting out there and serving God, spreading the word and the truth to everyone you meet. God keeps every promise He makes. He is a shield for all who seek His protection. The promise of the Lord can be trusted. They are as genuine as silver and gold. In Matthew 24:35, it states, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." What a magnificent promise. Our blessed Redeemer. Yes, though the grass withers and the flowers fade, the word of God endures forever. Forever, folks. Forever. Did you know that every person has a destiny and a dream for their life? But sadly enough, but true, most people don't have the personal character to sustain and support their own destiny. Why is that? Here are some key notes on that matter. Number one, the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. God never fails us, and yet so many amongst us don't have this deep faith and are actually doubting of the fact. That's mistake number one. Number two, the key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. And yet so many people in our society, believers and non-believers alike, do not always practice obedience. That's mistake number two, folks. Number three, the key to obedience is faith. Lord knows we all fail in that area sometimes. We have to believe. There is no ifs, ands, or maybes. We have to believe. To have the faith of a mustard seed. There is no room for fear, doubt, anxiety, worry. You just believe. Who of you out there in my listening audience can truly say that without a shadow of a doubt, none whatsoever, never in your life, at least not in your current life, that you never, ever experienced doubt, worry, anxiety, fears, insecurities, and such? That you have grown to such a level of maturity in Christ that nothing fazes you. You are always completely calm and at peace. If you are one of those very blessed people, I applaud you. Give all of the glory and the praise to God. But the fact of the matter is that most of us still struggle with such things from time to time. And that's mistake number three. Number four, the key to faith is hearing the word. This means memorizing, meditating, and learning every day. I am sure that most of us could surely use some improvement in this area as well. As consistent as we might try to be, things do come up. Life happens. Either circumstances, situations, just having a down day, when you just don't feel like hearing or studying the Word. Let's be honest, people. And people get busy. There are many interruptions in our busy lives. Life happens to the best of us. But I would encourage you to go find your destiny and your dreams. Try it. Try to go out there and find those things. Be the best that you can be. Jesus was our perfect role model for Christian leadership. Think of all that he did for us. Think of all he did for God's children. Think about his behaviors, his mannerisms, his teachings, his actions and his deeds, and then the final sacrifice. The sacrifice of his life on the cross to pay for all of our sins. That, folks, is Christian leadership in perfection. Perhaps it's a high standard to live up to, but it is certainly not impossible. It won't happen overnight, but I assure you that if you want it bad enough, that with each day, there will be a dying to old self and renewing of a new self in Christ. It develops in stages. You're always going to be a work of progress. But the more you practice doing right, the easier it becomes to resist the devil. Is it easy? Of course not. I would be deceiving you if I said it were. But I promise you that it is well worth every minute of it. Jesus was the model servant leader to his Father. He submitted his own life to sacrificial service under the will of God. And he sacrificed his life freely out of service for other people. He came to serve here on this earth, knowing what the end result would be. He healed the sick. He drove out demons. Was recognized as teacher and Lord. He had power over the wind and the sea and even death. Jesus gave practical examples of what it meant to serve others. One example was when he washed the feet of his followers. Jesus' basic motivation for love, or was love, for his followers. Jesus was fully aware of his position as leader. Jesus voluntarily became a servant to his followers. He was ready to do service for his followers if needed. Jesus wanted to set an example for his followers to follow. I believe he succeeds in all those areas. We learned from Jesus' example that being a servant leader is, in the most general sense, means being these things. A voluntary servant who submits themselves to a higher purpose, which is beyond their own personal interests or the interests of others, meaning that you voluntarily go out there and you serve other people. You serve people who are in need. You find people. You submit to them for the higher purpose. And you go beyond what your personal interests are or the interests of other people. In other words, you don't think about yourself. You are thinking about that other individual, what they need. A leader that uses the power that is entrusted to them to serve others and not their own personal desires. Meaning a person that goes out there and serves others, as I just said, and they don't think about their own personal desires or what they're going to get out of what they do to help or whatever. They are just in it for the higher purpose of helping their fellow brothers and sisters. A leader serves out of love, serves others' needs before their own. A teacher who teaches by example to his followers, that's a leader. A teacher who leads by example in word and deed. A true leader in Christ is centered in all aspects of life. Is Christ-centered in all aspects of life. A voluntary servant of Christ, they are committed to serve the needs of others before their own. They are courageous to lead with power and love as an expression of serving. They're consistently developing others into servant leaders and continually inviting feedback from those that they want to serve in order to grow toward the ultimate servant leader, Jesus Christ. Folks, if you want to be a leader, a servant of God, you have to have a serving heart. For it is nearly impossible to be a good servant leader, a good Christian leader, without having a servant heart, a serving heart. I want you to do some reflecting for a moment. How do you compare to the leadership role model of Jesus? Look at your life for a moment. Reflect on how you are today. And how do you compare to the leadership role model of Jesus? Are you drawn to the higher power purpose, the higher purpose of serving God? Are you focused on people, other people, those who look to you for example of right living? Leadership requires a conscious decision to become a servant of a higher purpose and of others. Jesus was a humble leader. A humble leader. So what is humility? It is the opposite of being self-centered and prideful. To really appreciate humility, I want to share some contrasting qualities. Pride says, "Don't tell me anything. I already know all that." Humility says, "Thanks for the advice and help." Pride says, "I need, I want, and I deserve." Humility says, "He needs, they want, you deserve." Pride says, "God, I am so much better than all of my fellow men." Humility says, "Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." Pride criticizes others to tear them down, while humility praises others in order to build them up. Pride exalts himself, but God resists him, while humility humbles himself before God and God lifts him up. Pride says, "I can do all things. I can do all things." Humility says, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." Pride says, "I want to be served. I want to be served." Humility says, "I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as ransom for many." Pride says, "Look at me, look at me, look at what I did, look at what I did." Humility says, "See what God has done in me." Pride stood in the streets and shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him. He became more popular than we." Humility is hanging on the cross, looking upward and praying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Pride seeks the glory but does not find it. Humility receives glory and honor from others without seeking it. The difference between pride and humility is the difference between light and darkness, folks. Jesus was the ultimate example of humility. Through Jesus, we can see a living demonstration of what it means to be humble. In his relationship with God and with people, he always proved himself to be humble, without pretension, without pride, without unselfishness, and unprejudice. In Jesus, we see a man who gave himself to the downtrodden of his age. He associated with fishermen and workers. He drank from the same of the mixed-raced women who was so rejected and despised by religious people. Jesus showed his true character when he entered a city. He touched the unclean bodies of the lepers and the tongues of the deaf mutes. He cared for the demon-possessed ones to whom others were afraid to even go near. He accepted the invitations to eat in the house of the sinners and the hypocrites. Jesus did not avoid any class of person. Women of ill repute came to him by knowing that they would find understanding and forgiveness, and also a command to go and sin no more. Jesus was as much at ease in the house of the rich as he was at ease in the house of the beggars and the blind men. Jesus took time from his busy agenda to talk to all people, answer all their questions, extend a hand, extend mercy, and show the better way to live. Jesus never failed to stop and answer a cry for help. He had every reason to be exalted, and yet he insisted that all the glory and honor should go to his Father. In Jesus, we see all the attitudes associated with a person who is poor in spirit: humility, submission, service, faith, and love. Now, take a look at your own life. Does it compare with the life of Jesus? Are we humble in our day-to-day life, or is it mostly an attitude of, it's all about me? Are we leadership material? Are we considered qualified for the job? Of course we are. God qualifies the unqualified. He equips us for all good deeds. I'm going to go ahead and take a short break and play a song before continuing on with my message. Here's a little tune from Hillsong, Hosanna.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, we praise you. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope all of you are out there are enjoying today's message. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today. It's always amazing to have this time together with each and every one of you on Saturdays. If you are just tuning in, today's topic is, Are You Leadership Material? Some of you may be confident in the fact that you most certainly are leadership material. Others may not be too sure about their abilities, and maybe they have doubts about how skilled they are at being a leader. While others may tell you that they're not leadership material, and they probably never will be. But that's ridiculous, folks. We all have within us the ability to be a great leader, to be a great leader for God. God designed us to be helpers and servants, great caretakers for all that is around us. For those of you who may just be tuning in and perhaps missed part of today's show, you can go back to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com and listen to the entire show after it has been uploaded. It generally takes a few hours for it to be uploaded and available, but just hang on and be patient, and after a few hours it will be up so that you can listen to that in full if you've missed any of this message today. I also want to add that anyone who would like to rebroadcast my message on any other network is more than welcome to use any of my pods. With that having been said, I'll go ahead and get back into today's message. But during my studies this week, I came across this helpful definition of leadership, and I would like to share this with all of you. To be a leader is to be vulnerable, to meet the disapproving stares of others with the joy and the certainty of God's infinite love. To be a leader is to be imperfect, to enjoy the enriching process of a new challenge with the hope and confidence of the Master. To be a leader is to be somewhat naive, to believe the very best of all people in the love and acceptance of our Savior. To be a leader is to be trusting, to disregard dire projections of gloom for the joy and the creativity of our Creator. To be a leader is to be honest, to own our own sinfulness with the sincerity and authenticity, boy, that was a tough word for me this morning, authenticity of the Spirit. To be a leader is to be unique, to accept the wonderful gift of self in the knowledge and the understanding of everyone around you, your community. To be a leader is to be free, to welcome reoccurring waves of change with the awe and the wonder of a child. To be a leader is to be empowering, to share the exhilarating power of information in this world, this place that it all interconnects. To be a leader is to be humble, to give the gift of flexibility with the grace and the forgiveness of God. To be a leader is to be whole, to know the startling reality that I am central yet peripheral in God's plan for the world. To be a leader is to be weak, to understand that I can rest in the hollow of God's hand only in the total yielding and complete trusting of a child's heart. This was written by D. Bernhardt. Some of you listening out there may think, I can't possibly be all of those things. Maybe you think that you were meant to fail from the very beginning. But folks, this is not true. Don't allow Satan to put that thought into your head and to let it dwell there and, you know, set you up for failure and convince you of the fact that you cannot be a leader for Christ. Because, like I said, God qualifies you and He equips you, and every person out there, no matter what status you are, no matter how much education you have, no matter what your personality is, you can do this. You can do this. So, you know, I don't care, you know, what status you are or who you are in life, whether you're homeless or you're living in a fancy mansion, You can be a leader to those around you. You can lead people to God by your faith, your example of living, by spreading the word and telling the truth, by leading by Jesus' example, lending a hand to those in need, by showing grace, love, mercy, and forgiveness wherever your travels take you. You do not have to fear or doubt your ability to be a good leader for the Lord. Just decide to take that leap of faith. Pray. Ask God for help to guide the way for you, for understanding and for wisdom, and let God qualify you and work through you in magnificent ways far surpassing all human understanding. You can do it. And don't wait for those perfect conditions, because there will never be the perfect condition, the perfect circumstance, or the perfect situation. You just have to leap in with both feet and get your feet wet. As I said earlier in my message, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. That is all you need to be a good leader. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, what are you waiting for? It doesn't have to be complicated. That's the devil trying to convince you that it's too hard. You won't be good at it. You don't know where to start. Stop listening to the devil. He doesn't want you to be a leader for the Lord, because then he has lost one more battle. And that makes him very upset. But you just tell the old devil to get behind you, because you don't serve him. You serve the Lord, and that you're going to step out in faith and trust God to do the rest. Can I get an amen? Amen. Here are some more good leadership qualities. Maybe these will seem a little more achievable for those of you who are in doubt about your abilities. These are not hard, and they're well beyond your means of achievement. Recognize the value in other people and continually invest in them. That doesn't seem too hard. It's as simple as treating others as you yourself would like to be treated, as a valued, respected human being. Share the information you know. Part of being a good leader is sharing your knowledge, your experiences, your wisdom with other people, so as to help them to be a better person. Then they will go on to do the same thing for someone else. It's like the pay it forward, you know? So, hopefully, whenever you do that, the ripple in the pond will just continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And that goes back to the number one thing that I said, investing your time, yourself, in doing for other people. Lead the way for others so that they may learn from you a positive example and teach that to someone else. You have to be above average character. Don't get me wrong, there is no perfect person. But for a leader to be considered good, they must have a character that is unquestionable. Not everyone will be in agreement with you, but the ones that know you the best should be able to trust you and trust in what you do. Using other people's influence for the good of others. Good leaders are just as interested in making a positive difference in other people's lives just as much as creating a healthy environment. Good leaders don't separate themselves or think too highly of themselves above other people. They remain humble. A good leader is an equal to all. A good leader must be skillful and competent, because being a leader isn't for chickens, folks. It's not for cowards. Good leaders can be depended upon for their professionalism and their follow-through. You never have to question a good leader if he or she will be able to finish the task. Good leaders can't be afraid of other people's success. A good leader understands that sometimes a follower will outgrow the leader's ability to grow them any further. Good leaders are never threatened by another person's success, yet should be able to rejoice and celebrate at that other person's accomplishments. A good leader will serve with no expectation of anything in return. Good leaders have a heart of service. They truly love and value people and want to help others. A good leader should always have the desire for continued learning. They should never become stagnant. They should never feel as if, okay, I've learned all I can learn. You know, I know everything now. Because you won't. In all your years on this earth, you will never know everything there is to learn. But good leaders have to have a heart of service, truly love and value people, and, as I said, desire for continued learning. Good leaders are always learning and studying new ways to better something. Good leaders should always remain accessible, approachable, and accountable to others. Good leaders don't isolate themselves from others, no matter how much responsibility they have already had on their plate, and no matter how much power they have. They're always accessible, approachable, and accountable. A good leader needs to remain a visionary, someone who is able to look beyond today and into the future. Good leaders are always thinking about what's next. A good leader must continue to encourage growth, change, and strategic thinking. All of these things are very good tips for being a great leader. And here in a moment, I'm going to have my husband Shaziz join me. So as he's preparing for his time here on the Hope Show with me, I'm going to go ahead and continue to say a few things here. Throughout this entire message today, I have given you a wealth of tips on how to be a leader for the Lord. A lot of these tips overlap one another and can be used in any leadership role. Whether that be at work, in an organization, at church, etc. Being a leader takes courage, boldness, faith, strong skills and competence. But every person in this world is capable of being a great leader. Even those of you who are shaking your heads as you're listening to me, thinking to yourself, not me. Yes, you too. I wish all of you could see yourself in the light that I do. All of you are beautiful creations, unique, perfectly designed, talented, skillful, competent, glorious people. Each and every one of you are my fellow brother and sister in Christ. I wish all of you had the confidence in yourselves that I have in you. I want to share a few Bible verses about leadership. Proverbs 16:9 says, "You may make your plans, but the Lord directs your steps." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I chose you before I gave you life, and before you were born, I selected you to be a prophet to the nations." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Romans 8:28 says, "And we know all things work for the greater good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not be afraid, I am with you. I am your God. Let nothing terrify you. I will make you strong and help you. I will protect you and save you." I could go on and on and on, folks, telling you of verses in the Bible about leadership. But it's important to know that God is always with you. He qualifies the unqualified. Now go out and be and do all God designed you to be, folks. Stop holding back. And give it everything you've got. Before my husband Shaziz comes on here, I'm going to go ahead and play a song while he's getting prepared. And I'll be back in just a moment. So I'm going to play you a song by Matt Redman called 10,000 Reasons, if I can find it. Hold on just a moment, folks. You know, I'm just going to swing it up to a different song. So here we go. There's Power in the Blood. Song, wonderful, powerful song. I want to welcome my husband Shaziz right now to the show, and he's always got some words of wisdom to share with the audience, and I always love his input. And I'd also like to invite any callers who want to call in and speak with us too. So if you'd like to do that at this time, go ahead and call in on the Hope Show and talk to us. Shaziz, what do you have to say?
Being a leader is it's easier than you think it is. Anybody can be a leader. All you got to do is be you. Just be you. That's as simple as that. You know, I always talk about how I don't have to press my faith on nobody. All I got to do is just be me and keep steady with all the things that I normally believe in and do. And so if anybody looks at my life from the outside and they see that I'm happy all the time, or you know, things are going well for me, and they ask me, hey, what's your secret? You know, how is it you're happy all the time? Well, then they're more likely to adopt my ideas, you know, as opposed to me trying to convince them or force them into, you know, believing or whatever. And so I just live my life and lead by example. That's the simple way. Just be you. Lead your life the best you possibly can. and there are, you know, more likelihood that people are going to follow your lifestyle as opposed to, you know, you going crazy and trying to, you know, shout them down or whatever. So, you know, it's as simple as that. And anyone out there can be a leader. You know, it doesn't matter, like she said earlier, your status in the community, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're good with the community, everybody, and you've gained trust with everybody, that's the wonderful thing. You know, trust isn't something that you just hand over. It's an earned thing. And so by leading your life, living your life the way that you know in your heart's right, then the other people are more likely to follow, and you'll build that trust up with them, and they're more than likely to come to you and ask you for advice or assistance in some way. So, you know, that's the best advice I can give.
But, you know, as I was saying earlier, you know, you got to really be on your toes when you're out and about in this world, because, you know, if you're going to live your life right and you're going to set a good example, you know, as I said earlier, people are always watching and observing you. And, you know, everybody's going to have a down day and everybody's going to make a mistake or two. But you got to keep in mind, you know, that if you're out there trying to make a good example for folks and lead them in the right direction, you got to be mindful of what you're doing, what you're saying, and these things.
Yeah, and there's a message to be taken away from that song that Jesus Rides the Subway. You know, there's some folks that say you can't hang around other folks because they don't represent what you believe, and I don't believe that's the case, because, you know, in the song it talks about Jesus being there with the freaks, geeks, weirdos, and hippies, and all that kind of stuff, and that's because those folks are the ones that need the most help. But as far as while you're within that crowd, you know, that may not have the same views of yours, you just stay consistent on your beliefs. If everybody's out there cursing and doing all kinds of stuff that you don't necessarily agree with, you don't have to. You can make the conscious decision that, you know, I'm not going to do these things, or I'm not going to curse just because my friends are cursing. I'm just going to be me, you know. And, you know, that's about the easiest way to go about it as far as being a leader. You know, after a while, you know, you teach people how to treat you. And if every time somebody's out there cursing, you just go right along with the flow, or they're ripping out some racial slurs or something like that, and you don't voice your, you know, opinion on the deal, look, you know, brother, that's just not very nice, you know, whatever. They're going to think that that's all right to do around you. And if you just stay consistent with your and true to your beliefs, then you can be the best leader out there, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, when that's a perfect opportunity, you know, to kind of call them out in a really respectful and loving way, as Shaziz just said, you know, if they're cursing or being racial or this or that, you know, you don't have to be harsh with them and come down on them, you know, just preaching the word, but you can just kindly, respectfully, lovingly say, hey, you know, I really don't appreciate that. That's not really nice. Would you like people to say that about you?
Well, you don't even have to go as far as saying that, you know. You can actually do it in a joking manner that would give them...
it will convict them, yeah, right then and there of what they've said.
You know, like, hey, you old foul-mouthed heathen. Yeah, but... you know, like I said, though, you don't have to stop hanging around your friends that you don't agree with. Maybe they do things that they shouldn't be doing, you know, as far as moral things, cursing or saying crazy stuff. You just hang around them, and hopefully you'll rub off on them instead of them rubbing off on you, and you'll be a leader in that aspect, because, you know, if you keep on being the good person you are and using respectful language, eventually they get to the point where it will rub off on them. And, you know, they'll find themselves being polite and opening doors for ladies and yes, sir, yes, ma'am, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, and as far as hanging out with your friends and such, you know, if they're doing these things and they're being convicted of their actions or whatever, you know, out of respect, they should kind of ease up on some of their behaviors and things. If they're a true friend of yours, they should respect the fact that you're not into all that, you know, and show you some respect as well.
Well, a big example of what I'm talking about is our kids. You know, our kids were a little wild when they were younger, and you know, they got lied to by a few people, and so we kept on just being us. We kept we stayed consistent, and after a while, the truth always comes out. No matter how hard you try to hide the truth, it always comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually, we were vindicated with our own children because they seen that we stayed consistent with everything that we said and done. You know, we didn't change our path to try to be their best buds or anything like that. We just stayed consistent to our and true to our beliefs, and you know, it worked out in the long run. You know,
every single one of them have came around, and they're all, you know, they have families of their own now, and they're awesome, you know, and but it took a while, you know, being a good example to them.
Don't get angry at evil, because evil is as evil does. It's going to keep on being evil. You know, you're not going to change the heart of an evil person. You know, you can lead your life and live by example, and if it's in them, they're gonna change. You know, but don't let them get you down. Don't let them drag you into their abyss. You know, they're going down the wrong path. They'll find that out eventually. Yeah, but just keep being you. Keep being the good leader or good person that you are. And, you know, eventually they'll either get tired of you being so nice and polite that they'll leave you alone and never come back, or they'll adopt your beliefs and start being nice themselves. So either way, you don't lose, you know. You either get rid of the hater, or you make a friend out of the hater.
That's exactly true. That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, just use common sense and always trust in yourself. You know, I keep trying to tell everybody this network is about empowering you to believe in yourself.
Exactly.
I believe our Creator wants you to believe in yourself. He wants you to reach your full potential. And the only way you're going to reach your full potential is the key word, your. You're going to do this yourself. You're going to take all the talents you got, all the goodness in your heart, and you're going to share it with the world, and eventually you're going to reach your full potential. If you
exactly.
try to be somebody else that you're not, just because you want to blend in, you know, all your friends are doing drugs, so you feel like, you know, you got to do them too, you know, you don't got to do that. You don't have to stop hanging out with them just because they're doing drugs. You want to try to lead them and guide them and be there and keep them safe if possible, you know. It's a hard road to try to be a leader, you know, as far as that goes, you know, and keeping people safe and guiding them down the right road. But if not you, who, you know?
You know, it's as I said earlier, and it's for a lack of a better word, because, you know, I don't know if this word is actually, you know, the word I should be using, but, you know, leadership is not for cowards, you know. Leadership is for the confident and the bold and the firm and that kind of thing,
and
competent.
And even if you're not confident in yourself to be able to help people out, just believe in yourself and just be you, period. Don't try to be Moses leading the people out of bondage or anything like that. Just be you. Try to be there for people. Be helpful at every turn. You know, open the doors for the ladies and say the yes ma'ams and the yes sir out of respect and that kind of stuff, you know. And you'll find that life just starts to flow in there. And times whenever you're down, when you think nobody ever noticed, there are going to be the times when you find out that those fruits of your labor always come back to fill your basket up, and you never do without. That's in my belief, the way that the whole God thing works, you know. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and they will.
And it doesn't have to be anything big like what Shazza said. You know, it could be small acts of kindness. You know, and you just never know how those small acts of kindness are going to affect another individual as you're passing them, or maybe you're at work, or wherever your opportunities are. There are always opportunities to help others.
Yeah, something as simple as a smile. You know, somebody's been having a terrible morning. They got up out of the wrong side of the bed, tripped over the coffee table, stubbed their toes, spilled their coffee all over themselves in the car on the way to work, stopped off to get a refresh of coffee, and there you are, that person behind the counter smiling on them and telling them to have a wonderful day. You know, at first they might have this sarcastic, oh yeah, right, wonderful day after what morning I had. But then as they drive down the road, it'll sink in. It'll sink in that somebody thought enough to wish them a better day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works, you know, something simple. Those little tiny ripples in the pond make big changes to our world, and that's what we got to keep in mind.
That's right. If anybody would like to call in right now, go ahead and do so. I mean, we'd love to hear from everybody.
Yeah, feel free to jump on the horn. But, you know, if you're not, we could still keep on rambling because we're good at this.
We do a lot of this in our day-to-day life.
Yeah, her and I sat around and we had some really insightful conversations, you know. Sometimes she'll be frustrated and then I'll point out something just so simple and she's like, I never thought of it that way.
That's right.
And then the vice versa, you know, there's times that I've been frustrated and she'll sit down and point out things, you know. It's just a togetherness kind of thing. I think that's what's kept us together all these years is that we got a good line of communication open. And the same thing would apply with all your friends and relationships out there. You keep a good line of communication and slow down before you speak and let them know that you're listening to them, you know. And before you open your mouth, think about what it is you're going to say so that you don't say something that they might misconstrue as the wrong thing.
Whatever you do, don't just brew on whatever is bothering you. You know, you need to get it out. You know, if it's bothering you, it's only, if you just sit and brew on it, it's only going to make things worse, you know. Just get it out in the open right now and be done with it.
Yeah, throw the chalkboard away and the little notepad that you use to take down notes of how many times your significant other has angered you and what they done wrong. Because that's a back and forth game like ping pong, you know. There's winners and losers in ping pong game. And normally it's the guy with the most points or even sometimes the other guy loses. But you just can't keep score on each other. You got to learn that forgiveness that she's always talking about and let things go. So if you got something on your mind, you should tell your significant other, you know, what's up. And just say, look, you know, that kind of hurt my feelings or whatever. And then that way both of you can move on and you're not mad about it, you know.
You know, it used to aggravate me many, many years ago when we first got together because I would do that. I was very guilty of that. You know, if I went to bed angry, I'd wake up angry about the very same thing and I'd be angry all day. You know, and this could go on for several days at a time. And, you know, it used to anger me because Shaziz would say, you know, it's a new day. It's a new start. Are you still harping on that, you know? And I'd be, well, like, yeah, I am, actually, as a matter of fact. Huh. And but, you know, as time has gone on, you know, they always say that the people that you spend the most time with, you kind of become like them sometimes. And so Shaziz's rationality and mellow side and wise side has kind of rubbed off on me through the years, and as I've aged and I've matured, you know, it no longer upsets me when he says that, and generally he doesn't even have to say that anymore because, you know, I've come to realize that he is right. You know, if you get all that out there in the open and you talk about it, then you won't have it coming up tomorrow and the next day, and it really is, tomorrow is really a new day, new dawning.
Clean slate.
A clean slate.
So take some advice from Cheech and Chong and mellow out, man.
Oh, that was a saying I used to hate so much. Shaziz used to tell me that all the time. And I would think, mellow out, are you crazy? Mellow out! You know, and I'd be just like frantic.
Hey, I've been called worse than crazy.
It was actually, now looking back on, you know, when I think back to our earlier days, it's actually funny now, but it was not funny at the time.
Mellow out, man.
I'll show you mellow while I'm ripping your head off.
But either way, there's so many life lessons to learn. But the biggest one of all is to take care of you. Just be you. Be the leader that you can be just by being you. It's that simple, you know. Don't try to be, you know, like I said, don't try to be Moses leading the flock out of the bondage and all that kind of stuff. Just be you. Be the person and helpful and all that kind of stuff. And you will be surprised how much of a smoother path that you'll go down.
That's true.
Now keep in mind that, you know, most generally whenever you're trying to do a lot of good, you know, the devil, on in my opinion, on the other side is always trying to trip you up, stub your toe or whatever. And there's a funny on that one there too, because every time she always moves stuff around in the house And one time she moved a doggone coffee table, and I get used to where I can go through the whole navigate the house with, you know, in the dark. And then she done moved the coffee table, and I slammed my toe with my flip-flops on inside the coffee table, and I'm a bleeping and yelling and raising a ruckus. I got to the point now where, you know, I know that even me being cursing by myself with nobody around to hear, I just say, you know, thank you, Jesus. That life learning experience.
That's the way you got to look at it.
Yeah,
it's not going to change the fact of what happened, so you might as well just praise the Lord.
You got to take the good with the bad, because the bad is a learning experience. The bad is what actually made you the person that you are today. All those pitfalls and downfalls that you've had throughout your life, they formed you into the person that you are today, you know, whether you're grouchy or loving or whatever, and you understand that there's other people out there in the world that are worse off than you, and you're just thankful for all the blessings. So, you know, with that said, we got to be mindful of what you say, because the positive pebbles that you throw in the pond, the same thing works with negative pebbles. If you're throwing negativity out there, you're going to get negativity back. If you're throwing positivity out there, you're going to get positivity back. And in the world that we find ourselves in today, we need all the positivity we can get.
That's very true.
All the peace and love, just sling the peace and love around in every direction.
That's very true.
The paper the town with it, so to speak.
I like that idea. Yeah. I like that. I'm going to use that next time. Paper the town with positivity.
Yeah. So
that would be the new catchphrase for me this week. Paper the town.
With that whole pay it forward thing, you know, people don't think about how big of a deal that is. You know, you help three people out, they help three people out, and so on down the line. Same thing with paper in the town with positivity. You know, and somebody, you know, who was affected positively by something that you done that was good, you know, they're a lot more than likely to go out and repeat that for somebody else, and it just dominoes until the whole world is around smiling. They don't know what they're necessarily smiling about. And you started the whole deal. So make sure it's a smile on their face and not some angry look where they want to get in a fist fight, go to Knuckle Junction, that kind of stuff.
Do you remember that song, Chain of Love?
Not necessarily.
That's the one where the guy stops to help somebody, and it's like the pay it forward kind of thing. And as it turns out, it kind of goes full circle. And he and his wife she's pregnant, and they're having financial problems. And it started out with this one man helping someone who was stranded on the side of the road. I think he changed their tire or something. But anyway, it went full circle. And by the end of the day, his wife was a waitress. And someone left her a really hefty tip. And she went home, and she said something about, you know, something about, praise God, you know, my husband's name is Joe, or something like that. And anyway, from that ripple in the pond early in the morning, her husband had done good things, and people had kept paying it forward throughout the entire day, and then it came full circle to his wife that night, and she came home with a hefty tip that helped them financially.
I lived an example of that story years ago. My uncle used to own a tow truck, and I used to go out there and drive it for him. It was winter time, and one day I come down the road, and there's this car down in about a 30-foot ravine. She wasn't hurt, but she couldn't get her car out, obviously. And so I went over there, and I asked her if she needed help, and pulled her up out of the ditch, and then I gave her a jump start and didn't charge her nothing. Meanwhile, a whole bunch of other tow trucks showed up, and they were all mad because, you know, I pulled her out for free, and they could have made some money off of her, all that kind of stuff. And then I get home and get my uncle back his truck, and I told him what I did and all that, and he was kind of upset because, you know, I could have made some money off of her. Well, forgot all about it. About a month or two went by, and my uncle needed some medicine up at the pharmacy at the hospital, so I went up to pick up his medicine for him. And as I was up there standing in line, this lady comes out there and meets me, and she says, do you remember me? And I said, not really. And she said, well, weren't you the guy that pulled me up out of the ditch with the old tow truck? And I said, yeah, I remember you now. And she said, well, I want to pay for this prescription for you. And just because at the time I couldn't do anything for you, but now I can, and I'm in the position to do so, so I'd like to pay for this for you if you don't mind. And I said, well, that would be wonderful. And so when I got back home and I gave him his medicine and handed him his money back, he had a look on his face like, what's going on? And I said, well, you remember that day that I pulled that lady out of the ditch and you was all upset because I didn't charge her any money? Well, just turns out she worked at the pharmacy, and she remembered that deed, and she paid for your medicine, so now you got your medicine and your money. And he had a whole change of heart. It was like, you know, I should have realized that from the get-go, and, you know,
wow.
that was pretty cool.
It gave me goosebumps. I'm over here about to tear up now.
Yep, she did. That was wonderful, man. Anyway, we're running down to the wire, and I'm sure she's got a couple songs to throw in there, so I'm going to get off of here and let her finish out her show. Peace and love, everybody.
Thank you, Shaziz, for joining us today, and it is time to wrap up the show. And I found that song that I was talking about, The Chain of Love, and so I want to go ahead and play that and play another song, too. But anyway, I want to thank Shaziz and thank all of you out there for listening to the show, for joining me today. It's been a great show. Until we meet again, until next Saturday, same time, same place, God bless each and every one of you in a very special way this week. And we love you. So go out there and help somebody. Be a leader.
And how?
Driving home one evening in his beat-up Pontiac, when an old lady flagged him down. Her Mercedes had a flat. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the snow, till he said, I'm here to help you, ma'am. By the way, my name's Joe. She said, I'm from St. Louis, and I'm only passing through. I must have seen 100 cars go by. This is awful nice of you. When he changed the tire and closed her trunk and was about to drive away, she said, how much do I owe you? Here's what he had to say. You don't owe me a thing. And someone wants to help me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. Well, a few miles down the road, lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and then be on her way. But she couldn't help but notice how the waitress smiled so sweet, and how she must have been 8 months along and dead on her feet. No, she didn't know her story, and she probably never will. When the waitress went to get her change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door, and on a napkin left a note. There were tears in the waitress' eyes when she read what she wrote. You don't owe me a thing, I've been there too. Someone wants to help me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love That night when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the ladies known had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered soft and low, "Everything's gonna be alright. I love you, Joe."
Forgetfulness, the chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. You know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness